Well, it's very good to be together this morning. I'm glad you all could make it and that we're here. What we're doing is looking some more. In fact, this is the last Sunday we're going to look at it, is what it is to be called by Jesus and how you answer that call that's on your life. And we're going to be just following up with what is the most basic of all the ways that Jesus calls you to follow him. In fact, I'll just give you a preview. You don't have to guess. The basic call is when Jesus says, follow me. That's it. Everyone is called to follow Jesus. And there's a way that that happens. We've looked at a few items ahead of time, which are also equally as simple. For example, we've seen that you are called right where you are. Just in your circumstance, where you live, your everyday life. All of that is where you are called. And what that means is, you don't really have to stop, give up, change, be different, whatever it may be, move somewhere to hear the call of Jesus on your life. Where you are right now is very significant to him. We also have seen that you are called in the middle of what you already do. Just whatever it is, whatever you love to do, whatever you have to do, whatever it is you are doing, he calls you right in the middle of that because your life is very, very important to him. And all that he has going for you, all that he desires for you, it comes right where you are. You don't have to stop being who you are to hear the call of God on your life, to hear the voice of Jesus. It doesn't take something special, you know, or mystical powers or anything like that. All of that is what's going on. We've seen that. He loves you. He comes to you. He approaches you right where you are, right in the middle of what you're doing. All the time, always. And in fact, the basic path of the Christian life is responding to his presence and what he may be tapping you on the shoulder about, right where you are, right in the middle of what you're doing. And we've seen how that is the case over the past few weeks. And what we're going to look at today is when Jesus says, follow me. And we've seen that in a few of the previous Gospels. He'll say, follow me. And he'll look at Simon and Andrew and say, follow me, and all this. It is the basic one. And there's something very, very challenging about that most basic call on your life, which is to follow Jesus. And so I want to look at this one verse this morning in the gospel reading. And in that gospel reading from Mark, we see this. Let us go on to the neighboring towns so that I may proclaim the message there also, for that is what I came out to do. Very interesting, a very, very interesting thing happened here. To be honest myself and transparent, and perhaps you would feel the same way, if in the middle of this situation I had started following Jesus and I went and found him that morning and Jesus says, let's go on to the other towns, I would have thought he was completely out of his mind and would have had absolutely no sense of any kind at all. And I would have thought, we need to get a meeting together of everybody else and see what we can do about this situation, because this is really, really careening off course. If I'm honest with myself, that's where I would be. Why do I say that? Well, they had just had an extremely successful meeting. There they are at Simon and Andrew's house, and the first thing that happens is that Peter's mother-in-law, who is down with a fever, is healed, immediately healed, and starts serving them. This was a serious situation, as you could imagine, in that setting. You get a fever, and you just don't go get the bare aspirin and wait. You're sick. You are deathly sick. And she's healed. And then the entire town starts bringing the demon-possessed and the sick to the door of that house. The entire town does that. Now, what's very significant about this entire town, is that the word that's used for town really means a place that's as big as a small city, but still organized like a village. I don't know of an exact equivalent in our culture today, but that's what it was. And part of that was the economics of the day and so forth. But there was, this is a very large town. It's a small city, and everyone is bringing all their sick and all their demon-possessed, and they're all having this tremendously successful church meeting. And Jesus says the next morning, when everybody shows up again for more, Jesus says, we're moving on. I mean, what would you do? What would you do if you were Peter or Andrew? And we had people, just 10 and 12 deep outside trying to get in here, and things were going like crazy, and you think, well, man, this is wonderful, and early the next morning, they're back before any of us show up, and you come find me, and you say, hey, and I say, well, yeah, we're moving on. Those of you who have the diocesan office on speed dial would have pressed that button right there. Yeah, that's right. Wait till you hear this, right? But that's what Jesus did. That's exactly what he did. Now, it's not a crazy cultural thing that he did. It's not something that if we looked into the way it was in ancient Israel in that day, we would find out, oh, yeah, it makes perfect sense. None of that would have been happening. There is no way for that to make perfect sense except one. When Jesus says, follow me, he means to follow him. It's to follow him. And sometimes a picture of success or fulfillment will not be the next step of following him. But we are called to follow him. So you're probably just thinking, well, okay, time to resign or whatever. It is very, very deep, this call, even though it is very, very basic. It is the core of being a Christian. So what happens when you do this? What was going on with Jesus here? What was in his mind when the 12 come to him and say, this is it, we've done it. And he says, we're moving on. Well, to follow Jesus means that he gives you a path. And the path that he gives you is the path to extend the kingdom of God in everything you do. And that will always be what he is bringing up. And anything that is to the right or to the left of that path, he still loves you, he still calls you, he's still talking to you, you're still forgiven, you're still in heaven, but he's going to be calling you back to that path of following him. So what is the path? Jesus says, I want to go to the other town. So that's what I came out to do. I want to go there to preach. So he's going to the other towns. Now remember, the towns that he's speaking of, which we can miss in the English translation, is the larger regional center places, like the town he's in now, which have influence over the surrounding area, the surrounding county, if you will. So there's this small city organized like a village, still running in that way, and there's all kinds of villages around it that are dependent upon that city, economically and for many other things. So Jesus says, those regional centers are where I'm going to go. The reason I'm going to go there is because I am going to preach the gospel there too. And that all sounds great to us. But what's going on here is that he is not aiming at individuals. He's not saying, you know, I have this list of people that live in that town, and we're going to go one by one down the list and try to influence them and convince them to follow us. He's going for entire households, entire networks of relationships, extended families. And what he's doing is having had what you might call a fruitful time in one of the key households of the city he was in that time, Simon and Andrew's house, and the whole city came to it. They received the kingdom, the signs of the kingdom, freedom from demons, healing of the sick, all this, serving one another. All of that was there. The kingdom was now present and spreading through that population. He was going to the next town to find houses in that town where, when that house received him, the entire town was influenced by the gospel. That's how that worked. And you remember, we've looked at that from time to time in the past. A household in that culture was the basic economic unit of that society and the basic cultural structure. So when a household is gathered, it's the immediate family, the extended family, the friends, number of the neighbors, and also maybe people who are working in that business. They might even be living in that house. And then other individuals who connect. There's just the household in that era was a very wide thing. So household to household is how Jesus is extending the kingdom. It's how the church grew. It's how things happened. It's how people knew to show up at Simon and Andrew's house in that culture, because the word of mouth spread so quickly from house to house because the households were so wide. They had so many people in them. It would easily go quickly throughout that entire town. And that was his plan. The very significant thing for you and I to realize when Jesus is calling us, when he says, follow me, it will often be following him into the steps that we think make no sense. Now, isn't that kind of encouraging to you? Don't you think, yeah, let's do that? It takes some really a level of trusting and commitment to Jesus that takes you in the path that he is leading us in. Now, just to be honest and transparent one more time, if I were actually with this group and I actually followed Jesus to the next town and the same thing happened, you know, the whole town came out to the house, all kinds of things were going, and the next morning Jesus is up praying, and people are coming back to the house. I don't think I'd have learned it quite yet. I think I'd have gone and found him out wherever he was praying in the darkness, said, Jesus, come on, we got to get back here. They're doing it again. This is working. Jesus would have said the same thing. We're moving on because that's why I came. It's following him, which is what we're called to do. And sometimes we go in a path that seems just, what's a good church word? Outlandish. Just, what in the world is going on? And it's following Jesus as he extends the kingdom. Sometimes we've referred to it as joining in with Jesus and what he is already doing. That's part of what it is to follow him. It's part of the way that it goes. And you know, my temptation is almost always to say, hey, Jesus, look what I did. And can you bless that? When Jesus is saying, hey, John, look what I did. Can you come in and join me with that? Which is the same as follow me. And that's how the kingdom is spread. Now, there's one other aspect of this. And he says, I must go to these other cities and preach there also. And, you know, the more years you get in the church, the more preach, the word preach has a narrow definition. It's like what I'm doing now. Well, some people may not think this is preaching, but, you know, it's just, it's this kind of a situation. And actually what the word is, can be translated as herald or proclaimer. And the idea is Jesus is going to these other towns as a herald of the kingdom. And when you follow Jesus, you become a herald of the kingdom in one way or another. And being a herald of the kingdom means all the other aspects of being called play in that we've looked at before. Right where you live, just as you are a herald of the kingdom. In the middle of what you do and what you do best, you are a herald of the kingdom. Just as the households of these cities became centers of the gospel, heralds to the whole city, and they didn't change their business. They didn't change anything about their household, except now they were following Jesus. And perhaps the way they related to other businesses and households changed, which is how it went from house to house. So you don't need to become super mystical, set apart, unable to relate to other people, shriveled up, pious, or whatever other kind of thing comes to your mind. It's who you are now following Jesus that has this influence on people around you. And maybe you or I will not be following Jesus to a place where we call an entire city to God. Maybe it would be one other person who sees us and sees something in us. And in that way, we're a herald of the kingdom of God. And they just start coming closer to Jesus. Or maybe you find yourself really resonating with somebody who's leading a group that's reaching a certain kind of person. And you say, but, you know, that there's something about that I just love. And you join in with that whole group, reaching some other whole group. That's being a herald. And it's not you by yourself doing it. You have other people around you. See, all the times that someone may have told you, you shouldn't be watching movies, or you shouldn't be being who you are. All those times somebody told you that. If you want to be a Christian, you can't be who you are. They lied to you. That's just not the case. I mean, the first question I have about that is, well, who else would you be? You would be you. And you would be you loved by God. You would be you filled with His mercy and His forgiveness and His ability to keep moving forward. And in that way, you become a herald of the kingdom. And as St. Francis reportedly said, you preach the gospel, and if necessary, you use words. It's your whole life, your whole set of relationships, the entire network that you are part of becomes a herald of the kingdom of God. And all that stems back to the time you heard Jesus say, follow me, and you said, all right, here I come. Even if you kind of step off the path here and there, that's all right. He keeps drawing you back to the path. And when He keeps you drawing you back to the path, He gives you that strategy, if you will, of how you become a herald of the kingdom just by those around you. You start gaining the character of Jesus by following Him. When you come to Him and you say, you know, I think this would be a great idea. And He says, Well, yes, but this is what we're doing. And you go that way, the character of Jesus increases in you. And when you begin serving another person, or just walking with someone, just to walk with them, just to be a blessing in their life, no matter what their situation is, good or bad or whatever it is, you're just doing that, then the skills of Jesus start growing within you because you want to be like him, because you're following him, because you want to walk like Jesus walks, because you heard him say, follow me. That's the basic calling. You already know how to hear that. It's the answer to two questions. One is, what's God saying to me? And the second is, what does God want me to do about it? That's following Jesus. And you've heard me say that, I don't know how many times. You can count them yourself. It's new every morning to ask him that. And up to this morning, you may have felt, I'm not going to hear him unless I am a different person. I'm not going to hear him unless I stop doing this or that. I'm not going to hear him unless something fundamentally changes about me, or I have to get mystical or something. And then one morning you wake up and you sense the tap on your shoulder and you know it's him. Then it's time to say, okay, what's the step we're taking together? And then when you take that step, you have followed Jesus a little more closely. You begin to imitate the way he walks. That's the basic, fundamental calling on each of us. Would you please stand? Lord Jesus, we thank you and we bless you and we praise you for the way that you come to us, that no matter what's happened, you call us. So we ask that even today, your presence, your word, will be the lamp to our feet and the light upon our path for the glory of your name. Amen.